Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zufa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Well, it is Thursday night. This is Cage Zombies Radio. Thank you for joining us. My name is Matthew. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Pablo Diablo. And how are you doing this week, sir?
I'm doing great, Matthew. You just come storming in. I can tell you're ready.
Yeah. I'm coming at you like the Golden God Awards, man. We're like, this is the medalist MMA show. There should have been, like, the most medal MMA show, and it would have been Cage Zombies Radio. Nobody, I don't think anybody plays more metalcore, postcore, hardcore stuff than we do, so maybe we should have been nominated for an award at the Golden God Awards last night.
I see you're sending me a post. Did Josh Barnett win that athlete, most metal athlete?
Josh Barnett did win most metal athlete. Where is it? Most metal athlete was Tony Alva, skateboarder, Grant Balfour, pitcher for the Rays, actually. Josh Barnett, UFC, Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, Derek Garland from Metal Militia Motocross, and Tuukka Rask from the NHL, and Josh Barnett did win that. I'm a little bit confused there, but I'll roll with it. Okay, whatever. I do have a bone to pick, though, that the best, where is it, best vocalist goes to Josh Holm of Queens of the Stone Age? Get out of here. As I was just telling my friend before we came on the air, Queens of the Stone Age is not a metal band. I'm not going to at all sit here and try and talk like I know metal or that I know everything about metal. I know a little. I listen to some metal. I enjoy it. But I'm not going to be a spokesperson for the genre, but come on. Queens of the Stone Age is not metal. You're telling me for best vocalist in metal rock, he beats out Jonathan Davis of Korn, Ivan Moody of Five Finger Death Punch, M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, Jeremy McKinnon from A Day to Remember? I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That one. I want to jump back to Stephen Curry. How is he even nominated for Most Metal Athlete?
Most Metal Athlete. I feel like they just picked one from each sport. I'm not sure there. I mean, I'm figuring Most Metal Athlete. I'm leaning towards like motocross, skateboarding, BMXing, like crazy stuff. Like UFC, okay, MMA, okay. You can put Barnett in there. That's not a bad choice. But, yeah, Tuukka Rask from the NHL, Grant Balfour from the Rays, and Steph Curry, man. Steph Curry's a baller, but I don't think Steph Curry's metal in any way. I think that was just kind of like a filler. They just filled that category. They're like, we're gonna give this to Josh Barnett, so let's just go ahead and fill some people around him or something. But
I can almost guarantee he was not there. I can guarantee you he was not there. I can guarantee you he probably didn't even know he was nominated.
Dedicated fans went to Avenged Sevenfold. They do have a pretty stellar fan base. Can't hate on that one. Best new talent went to 12 Foot Ninja. One of our favorite bands was nominated there. Man, Issues was up for that award. We both enjoy a little bit of Issues here on the show. We play them from time to time. Five Finger Death Punch won Song of the Year. Five Finger Death Punch was up for quite a few, man, and I think well-deserved because those guys kick some serious ass. So, yeah, man, this is cool. I wish if I would have, Spencer told me about this late last night, 10:30, 11 o'clock or something. He asked me if I was watching it, and he had to remind me what it was. I had the name sounded familiar, but I just couldn't think of what it was. So, but yeah, man, this is pretty cool, and we're both geeking out over the fact that the Alternative Press magazine has announced that they're going to do their first inaugural award show here in a couple months. So, I know as a reader of that for many years, and I used to sit and read that all the time, and I'm sure you did too, man. That's pretty cool, and you got to know that's going to be stacked with an amazing lineup of nominees, performers. That's just going to be one sick award show.
Yeah, and it's going down in Cleveland, Ohio, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where that is.
You got to get there, man.
I would love to go there.
Be there.
Of course, ticket prices are probably going to be through the roof. Probably going to be like $70 for nosebleed seats, similar to
UFC
event.
Doesn't matter. You gotta be there.
I'll try to get.
All right. So into the Zombie Nation we go. On deck tonight we got Matt Marsden. Matt Marsden, the Cutman for Bellator. Gonna be our first time talking with a Cutman. I'm a bit excited over that. I think it's a pretty cool opportunity to kind of get inside the head of really one of the most important people in this sport. Maybe one of the most overlooked positions that this sport has is a Cutman. So I'm excited that we'll get to talking. He seems like a real interesting dude. Read an interview that was done with him. I don't know about how long ago it was done, but I know he's got a lot to say, and it should be a fun interview, so we're excited to have Matt on. And then we're going to talk with my man, Mitchell Chamali, one of the most handsomest beards in all of MMA. I can't say the most handsome because both of our guests tonight are stocked with some pretty fierce warrior-like beards. So it's going to be a fun night, man. We're going to talk with Mitchell a little bit about We'll talk with him a little bit about his trip over to Abu Dhabi to watch his good friend Jim Ehlers make his UFC debut. Talk a little bit about Mitchell's career. You know, Mitchell's also a pro fighter, I believe a 4-2 pro record now. And from there, we'll talk about, of course, his baby, his bread and butter, and that's Combat Night, which we talked a little bit with Josh Shaman about last week. And we're going to talk some with Mitchell about it. You know, they're partners. They co-own it together. And talk about that, which is going down this Saturday in Orlando, Florida. I will actually be in the house out there at the Roxy in Orlando. Nice little nightclub, nice venue. It's the setup of the club provides a very unique experience for the fans to come out and watch because you're right around the cage. There really is not that like 20-foot, 10-foot separation from the cage. You know, they've got the barrier set up, which you're like right there. You really do get like a front row seat anywhere in the club almost. So it's a anytime they go out to Orlando, that's their home is at the Roxy, and it's going to be another great night of fights this weekend, which is actually going to benefit the Fight for Autism Organization of Orlando, I believe it's called. It's going to be a great night, and just excited. So we'll talk with both of them here. We're going to talk with Matt around 10:35. And then we'll have Mitchell on right about 11 o'clock. Probably wrap it up about 11:30 this evening. It's, me and my friends here are both doing finals week. It's wrapping up our semesters in college. And I think a little bit of early evening probably wouldn't hurt. I don't think Spencer minds, and I know I don't. So we'll cut a little short this evening. Look at this, man. SureDog Radio live in 15 minutes. To hell with SureDog Radio. Nobody's listening to SureDog Radio. Get out of here with that garbage.
It's a rival.
SureDog Radio. Let me tell you about SureDog, man. The only experience that I've had firsthand with people from SureDog is when I was on the conference call for World Series of Fighting 8. World Series of Fighting 8 took place in down in Miami, and I got to be on the conference call, which was one of the coolest moments of my life. It was definitely a surreal experience to kind of be like, holy crap, you know, I'm actually involved in this MMA gig. You know, I'm part of it now. It kind of makes you feel part of it when you get to be part of something that cool. So, but this person from SureDog, right, they're talking to Jessica Aguilar, who was fighting on the card for World Series of Fighting. And if I'm not mistaken, is the number one ranked 115 pounder. If I have that correctly, I think she's the top ranked. I'm not seeing it here, but at the time she was the top ranked strawweight in the world. So they're talking with her, and this person gets on the phone. This person from SureDog gets a chance to ask a question, and their question is, how does it feel for you to not be part of the Ultimate Fighter? And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, this is what you come at her with? You're sitting here, she's got this big-time opportunity with World Series of Fighting, which, if you ask me, they are going up big time. They are improving rapidly, and they show no signs of decline, and I cannot wait to see bigger and better things from this promotion. That's my personal belief, because I'm a huge fan of World Series of Fighting. I think Ray Sefo is doing a phenomenal job. People keep saying that they're getting these UFC cast-offs or whatever, but to hell with that. They're getting guys that the UFC is saying are done and showing that they still have something. I mean, look at Rumble. The UFC said Rumble was done, but look at Rumble. Rumble just went and destroyed a bunch of people, and what happened? The UFC said, oh, we got to have him back. Boom.
He's back on. Rumble's back on this fight card coming up this weekend, and also,
right,
I don't know if
exactly, 172.
Just a few hours ago, Andrei Arlovski re-signed with the UFC.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. Good. Arlovski returns to the UFC. That's the thing, man. The UFC, people think that when the UFC casts somebody off, it means they're done, they got nothing left. But more often than not, it's the fact that if they're not bringing in top dollar possible, the UFC is going to move on. In no way does that mean they're done. Sometimes, yeah, guys are done, and they should just call it quits. But for the most part, you know, they dumped Rumble, they dumped Arlovski, they dumped all these guys that are still very active, still have a lot to bring this fight game, and these other promotions are benefiting off of it. Bellator's benefiting off of it. World Series of Fighting is benefiting off of it. Bellator's got this amazing pay-per-view coming up. I'm not into this Tito fight. I hope Shlemenko just destroys him, but I'm not into this Tito fight at all. I think Tito's well done, but I think that the Bellator sees dollar signs with this Tito thing, and it's not like they're giving him a title fighter and a top contender fight. They're just giving him a fight, so I hope Tito gets his butt whooped and he retires for good and goes home. But these guys aren't done because UFC cast them off, and we've seen that from time to time. But anyway, so this guy gets on there, and this is seriously what he comes to Jessica Aguilar with on the conference call for World Series of Fighting 8. How does it feel to not be included in the Ultimate Fighter 20? Or you know, whatever is it 20 for the 115 girls? I think it is 20. Yeah, it's just ridiculous, man. I'm just like, this is what you come out with, and you're representing Sure Dog. Tells me all I need to know about Sure Dog. So
yeah, Matthew's not a fan of SureDog.com.
It's just a bunch of fools, man. And their information, more often than not, is just not even right. But you know, it's whatever. Those websites, you can't rely on them for the accurate information. SureDog, MMA Underground, because that information is being submitted by sanctioning bodies or promoters, and it doesn't always get submitted properly. It doesn't even always get submitted. So, you know, you can never. It's hard to really go by that stuff. But unfortunately, the MMA Underground, or as it's called, MixedMartialArts.com, MMA.TV, it is looked at as the official database for records and fighters and stuff, and I know a lot of sanctioning bodies and promoters down here use that as the official go-to for that information. I just wish it was a little bit more accurate, but whatever. Dana, as you said, man, Dana White tweeted out earlier tonight, welcome back, Andrei Arlovski. No further clarification was made. So it looks like and, of course, Arlovski. Didn't it feel like that UFC event last weekend, didn't it feel like Greg Jackson had a fighter in every fight? I mean, it's like everybody trains with Greg Jackson.
I was watching something the other weekend. I forget exactly what it was, but it was showing his schedule for the next month, and he's all over the place. I mean, they weren't just showing the UFC fights. They were showing, a large amount of promotions. And, yeah, he's a busy man. He's going to be all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah. Well, the dudes, I mean, they're among the best in the business, him and Mike Winklejohn, and it's no secret, and people want to come from all over to train with a guy, and I think rightfully so. I think when you see his resume, when you see the guys he's trained, the success that they've had under him, it's no secret why people want to come and train with him, and I think it's well-deserved. Him and Winklejohn, they do a phenomenal job, and it shows. You know, it freaking shows. So, but anyways, before we get going any further, let's get into some our sponsors, man. We wouldn't even be sitting here talking if it wasn't for these sponsors. So, BrawlBase.com, GameChangerClothing.com, Persist Headwear, ProAmBelts.com, CrossorderClothing.com, All Out Fight Shop, Jax Media Canada, Valley Auto Auction, AOL MMA, and of course the phenomenal Intimidation Clothing. We both got an event to talk about. I'll go over mine real quick because we're going to have Mitchell on later to talk about it, so I don't want to spend much time on it now. But Combat Night 28 going down this Saturday in Orlando, Florida at the Roxy. Going to kick off around, I think it's set to kick off at 7. I think doors are going to open about 6 and the fights are going to kick off at 7. And that's the Fight for Autism. So that's Combat Night 28. Hit up Josh Shaman, Mr. Chamali for any information. And we'll talk about that later in the evening. Spencer, you got some stuff to go over, man, so go ahead and do that.
Yeah, NAAFS Combat Challenge 27 going down this Saturday night in Akron, Ohio. A couple big name guys. This is an all-amateur card, but the main event is in the welterweight division. Xavier Nash against Ivan Rodriguez. 7-1 Nash against 5-1 Rodriguez. Should be a great fight. And then, not exactly in my neighborhood, but Cage Fury Fighting Championship 35, a huge promotion in New Jersey. Our boy, former Cage Zombies radio guest, Cody Stevens, the man who fought Shinya Aoki in his featherweight debut, he's making his return. He's going to be fighting Jimmy Rivera at that card. That card is headlined by Scott Heckman against Levon Machiavelli. That's going down in New Jersey, and I'm sure GFL is showing that fight card. I know they have in the past with that promotion, but those are the two fight cards that I'm going to be looking out for this weekend. Of course, UFC 172 going down as well.
Yeah. Let's do some quick talk over UFC 172, and then we'll move on. Obviously, a pretty big fight card. I'm going to say probably the biggest card on paper in a while by the UFC. I really think they did a good job with this card. You know, I've been saying recently, and I got a lot of backlash on Twitter. I think last Friday, watching that Bellator event, I tweeted out to Bjorn Rebney. I said, man, this pay-per-view and your events lately have just been really good, you guys. And I said the pay-per-view card is looking better than any recent UFC card, and I still believe that, with the exception of 172, because I think 172 just looks like a stellar card. But he tweeted back. He said, you know, thanks, bro, appreciate it. It's going to be awesome. Now, he retweeted me. Instantly, I must have got 30 notifications. I got other people retweeting me, people telling me I was on crack, people giving all kinds of feedback. But you know what? It was true. Bellator is doing great stuff lately, and their pay-per-view card looks amazing. But moving on from there, this UFC 172 card I really think is a top-notch card, and I think that it's cool to see a card like this away from, like, Vegas, you know, because it seems like Vegas, Canada, and Brazil get the best cards. So this one's going to actually be out of Baltimore, Maryland, so that's cool. But obviously, let's on the prelims, we have, you know, Charlie Brennerman, I think, making his return, if I'm not mistaken, making his return to the UFC. He was on the local scene for a little while here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This will be his second fight back with the UFC. He was actually fighting at CFFC. His last three fights he got the call back to the UFC for Rockhold versus Philippou for that card. Philippou, whatever. I think it's Philippou. I think it's Philippou now that I say it now and sound like an idiot. But, yeah, so this will be Charlie Brennerman's second fight back. So that's pretty cool seeing him back. Joseph Benavidez versus Tim Elliott, Takanori Gomi versus Valley Flag, and they, you know, the previews. I don't know if you've seen these previews, but they're running these previews about, you know, a legend in Japan and Takanori Gomi, and I'm just like, yeah, he was a major legend in Japan, but the dude's been everything but since coming over from Japan.
I'll tell you what about Takanori Gomi though. I love this kid's nickname, the Fireball Kid. I remember when he first got signed to the UFC and they had that promotion with him. I forget who he was fighting. I think it was Kenny Florian at the time. But every time the commercial came up, it'd be like, the Fireball Kid. And, I mean, I just thought that was the coolest thing.
This will be his eighth fight in the UFC since coming over. He fought a few other places after leaving Pride there. But this will be his eighth fight since coming over to the UFC. And he's looking to add another win to the record because so far he's 3-4 in his UFC career, so hoping to get that up to 500. But yeah, so we got Jim Miller versus Yancy Medeiros. Obviously, every time Jim Miller steps in the cage, you know it's going to be a good fight. I'm excited. I always like to watch him fight. This to me, I think, is the sleeper fight, man. Luke Rockhold versus Tim Bosch. I think this has the makings for fight of the night. But with that said, I'm not discounting the main event, but I think Luke Rockhold, Tim Bosch is going to be one hell of a fight.
I'll tell you this. I agree with you that it's going to be one hell of a fight. I know a lot of people are counting Tim Bosch out. The last time people did that was against Yushin Okami, and he kind of came back, knocked him out, proved everybody wrong. But I will disagree with you on the fight of the night. I think Andre Touchy-Feely against Max Holloway, that opening fight in the pay-per-view card, they put that fight there for a reason. These guys are amazing strikers. It's going to be an incredible fight to watch. But if that one's not fight of the night, I could see Bosch and Rockhold. That's my second choice.
Yeah. And then Phil Davis versus Rumble Johnson. Let's be honest, man. Phil Davis has been running his mouth all week about John Jones. Now, I think first and foremost, what I've learned from fighters that I've gotten to know on the local scene, regional scene, even guys that we've had on the show here, from the XFC, from Bellator, from UFC, from guys, we've had big-time guys here, and they all say the same thing. Don't look or overlook or underthink the current opponent that's in front of you. And all Phil Davis has done all week is run his mouth about John Jones. I really think that he is underestimating Rumble Johnson, and I think Rumble is going to knock him the hell out. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Rumble back at back in the UFC at light heavyweight this time. It's amazing to think that he once competed in the welterweight division. I can still remember his fight with Cosmic. That's crazy, but I agree with you. I can see a nasty head kick knockout here while Phil's trying to dive in for a takedown. We'll see where Johnson's gas tank is against Phil Davis, though. But you're right, Phil Davis has been running his mouth nonstop, and at first I thought it was all fun and games. I thought it was hilarious to watch. At this point, I'm just tired of seeing it, and I want to see him fight Davis, or I want to see Davis fight Johnson before he starts talking crap about John Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, with Rumble, his problem, I don't even think the UFC cutting him was due to a lack of performance. I think the fact that Rumble got cut is because Rumble was trying all these weird weight divisions, and he missed weight three times with the UFC. Yeah, he missed weight three times with the UFC. He missed a fourth one. He missed weight a fourth time for Titan Fighting Championships 22. If Rumble can stay at light heavyweight and stop messing around with all that silly weight cuts and trying to cut at these different divisions, he'll be fine, and he's going to destroy people because Rumble is a beast. But he tries to get all that garbage, trying to get the welterweight. What's he thinking going to welterweight, man? He's like, what's he trying to keep up with Kenny Florian for most divisions fought in or something? But that's just silliness. No reason to go through all that stuff. So, and then lastly, and this will be it for UFC, is the main event, John Jones versus Glover Teixeira. What's your thoughts going into that fight?
Hey, you very well know my thoughts. I have Glover Teixeira. I've had him for a long time. As soon as the UFC signed him, I said this guy's going to be the next light heavyweight champion. That's what our bet's on, Matthew, even though you thought it was the other way around. But I got Glover Teixeira by submission. I can't give you a round because anytime I pick a round, I'm always wrong. But I got Teixeira by submission, not taking anything away from Jones. I've kind of had that gut feeling for a while.
You think Glover's knocking him out, huh? Or I'm sorry. You think Glover's submitting him?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be either rear naked or a guillotine.
Dang. Right on. I like the gutsiness of the call, man. But, yeah, I'm not going to pick away. And I'm not even, like, I don't even have, like, a pick. I just want Glover Teixeira to win. As much as I want John Jones to lose, I can't bring myself to pick against the guy because every time they've put somebody in front of him and said, this is going to be the guy, Jones has beat him. And while the verdict, I think, is probably still up in the air on who really won that Gustafsson fight, it's, the bottom line is the decision went to Jones, and I can't pick against him because nobody's shown that they could beat him. So, but I really do want Glover Teixeira to beat him, and I don't want it to be a decision. I don't even want it to go past the second round. I want Glover to convincingly dethrone John Jones. And we move on from this as much as I want somebody to dethrone Ronda Rousey. So I think it's going to be a good night of fights, and we'll see. That goes down Saturday night as well. So also going down Saturday night, XFC International 4, man. These guys are pumping these events out like crazy. So this is yet another amazing event put together by Eduardo Duarte and Myron Malachi, the team down there at XFC International, working hand-in-hand with John Prisco, TJ, and the awesome team that XFC has up here. If I'm not mistaken, obviously if in Brazil, Hedgy TV will be airing it. It can be streamed. XFCMMA.com will be actually streaming the event as well. That's pretty legit. So if you can watch it online from XFCMMA.com. Of course, Waylon Lowe in the main event versus Marcos Dos Santos. We talked with Waylon last week. Sanja Sukovic versus Kalindra Faria in a women's strawweight co-main event. Then we got a couple tournament finals on here. It's a long, stacked card. And it's going to be a phenomenal night of fights yet again from the XFC. So look for that to be going down Saturday night, Sao Paulo, Brazil. And like I said, if you have Hedgy TV, it'll be on there. Otherwise, it'll be at XFCMMA.com where you can catch the live stream. So best of luck to our friends over at the XFC as we really look forward to seeing their return to the States here as well as seeing their great success in Brazil. Also, May 10th going down in Fort Lauderdale area down there at one of the ATTs in South Florida. They've got the Open Fighter Trials coming up. Open Fighter Trials May 10th in Brazil as well. So Sao Paulo, Brazil, Open Fighter Trials for the XFC May 10th. And then they've got them coming up as well down in South Florida. I'm drawing a blank on the city. But, so just check out XFCMMA.com for all of their action. They got a lot of stuff going on. Go ahead there. Spencer's got something as well.
Yeah, well, first I just want to say, XFC, you're right, they're cranking out these events down in Brazil. I really, really want them to return to the United States. I miss seeing them on Access TV. They might not necessarily sign back to Access TV, but I just want to see them back here. But this XFC National 4 fight card, I mean, other than the main event, you may not have heard of any of these fighters, but it doesn't matter. If you look at some of these past events, these international events, all of these fights are crazy finishes that you've never seen before, and they're finding these guys untouched talent, and they're doing a hell of a job with it. But I just want to say two things, two fighters out of the XFC here in the States. Ricky Sniper Rainey, who we've had on the show a long time ago, did you see he's opening the Bellator pay-per-view card?
Yes, I did see that. He got put in a fight on that Bellator. Yeah, that is Yes. To answer your question, yes. I'm sorry, you rattled me a little bit. Yes, I did see that. He's on the. Is he on the pay-per-view part of it, or is he on the prelims on Spike?
He's the first fight on the pay-per-view, but then Zach Thunderwood Underwood is on the prelims. So there's two XFC fighters fighting for Bellator while they're waiting for this for the XFC to return to the United States. So that's what I'm saying. I just want them to hurry up so they can get their fighters back fighting under their promotion. As much as I love Bellator, I don't like seeing these guys outside of the XFC. I'm used to seeing them in that cage.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he's the opening. He's the opening fight against Michael Page there on the pay-per-view card. So, I'm with you, man. I like to see Ricky having that Bellator success, but I know that Ricky's one of the stars of the XFC. So check this out, man. There's been a lot of wondering about what's going on with Invicta. They've been close to TV deal, supposedly a pretty big deal, pretty big TV deal in the works that they're working on. Chris Cyborg Santos states that she will be fighting on the Invicta FC 8 card, which is they're hinting will be in May. There's no official word, but she's claiming that she's going to be on an Invicta card in May. So hopefully we'll see some announcement coming from them very soon, from Shannon Knapp and the team over there at Invicta. I, for one, can't wait for them to get back, because I know that as soon as Invicta's back, that means that Delaney Owens fighting on their fight card. So I know that she's being told the same thing. She's being told plan for sometime in May. Now, May's only a week away, so I'm going to assume if it is going to be a May card, it's going to be a late May card. But this is what I have to say, man. This last UFC event, they showed Invicta highlights for the female fighters. I think that's the first time that they've done that. Now, I don't want to see Invicta as a feeder promotion for the UFC. But, ultimately, let's be honest, it's probably going to happen because Invicta's going to probably benefit from it, and they're going to still be able to succeed and prosper. But at the same time, probably going to end up having some sort of a deal that works out where they're connected to the UFC in one way or the other, which I don't think is a bad thing. I just don't like seeing promotions become feeders for anybody. I like to see promotions be themselves, man. And we'll see what happens, but possibly looking at May for a return for Invicta FC, which would be just awesome because it's been way too long without Invicta. So definitely looking forward to seeing Invicta back. And like I said, looking forward to seeing my friend Delaney, little scrappy Owen, get on that card and get rocking. So yeah, I think we're gonna be ready to go here very in the next moment with Matt Marsden, Cutman from Bellator MMA. And as soon as I see Spencer bring him in, I think Spencer's got him ready to go. So we'll just hang out a second here. Matt's been a longtime cut man for Bellator. Got lots of cool stories to tell us, and we're looking forward to hearing that tonight. So as soon as Spencer tells me he's good to go, I think he said he's got him. Bellator obviously has another big fight card going down tomorrow night, so I know that Matt's probably getting ready for that. And we'll see. We'll play a quick ad, and then we'll go live with Matt. So here we go. All right, I think we got Matt ready to go. Spencer, if you got him ready to go ahead and bring him in, man.
All righty, folks, we are live with the official cutman of Bellator, Matt Marsden. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Thank you. Awesome that you could join us. I know that you are probably getting ready for the fights tomorrow night, man. So first of all, let's just go back in time a little bit, man. How did you get involved with doing this stuff?
Well, you know, I was training and competing myself, and I had a background in nursing, and so it was just sort of those things, you know, as in my own guys, and then I realized I was the only one around my region that was kind of doing it, so I started doing regional shows for free, and then you just keep working your way up. It's like a fighter, you know. I worked my way up from really, you know, low-level shows to mid-level shows to, you know, where I'm at now.
Right, and what would you say, well, I mean, what led you to it? I know you said you've got a history in training and competing, but where along the lines did you decide, like, hey, you know, this is a pretty cool gig, I want to get into doing this?
Well, you know, I always kind of realized that I was better, I think, on that side of the cage. You know, as a competitor, you know, I was pretty honest with myself that, you know, I could be a great cut man, I could be a phenomenal cut man, and I'd only ever, at best, be a mediocre competitor. You know, I just never had the killer instinct. You know, if I were in a fight, you know, you hear fighters, and it's good that they're like this, but they'd say, well, if he doesn't tap, I would break his arm to finish the fight. You know, they do what they have to do. And that's, it's just never been in me to be that kind of competitor. But it is in me to help a fighter, to be a healer. You know, I was a nurse for 13 years. That is in me. And being able to understand what the fighter's going through during a fight and being a competitor myself, you know, it helps me, you know, understand what they're going through and then, you know, get them through the fight. I'm just better on that side of the cage.
Right. Now what's your history as a competitor? What kind of a background do you have and what kind of stuff have you competed in?
You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, Muay Thai, did a trip to Thailand and fought over there a little bit. Golden Gloves, you know, runs the gamut. And, you know, all of the martial arts, of mixed martial arts, have been in there. But, you know, I just knew that, you know, I was never going to be, you know, in Bellator, you know, a bigger organization like that. And, you know, let's do something that you're great at. Let's do something helpful. And that's, you know, I still want to be around the sport, and you just have to know your place.
Now, how did you get started with Bellator?
I was actually at Bellator's corner, a guy from my own gym, EJ Brooks, at Bellator, I believe it was 53, down in Oklahoma, and their cut man, I believe, had gotten sick. The other cut man that they had scheduled for the night got sick, and Dean Laster, who was the other cut man there, said, you know, is anybody here a cut man? He said it to the group in the fighters meeting, and my coach, Mike Rogers, was like, you need to go up there. And I actually resisted it at first. I was like, I don't know, man, I don't know if I'm ready for that. This, you know, this is going to be on MTV too. I don't know, I'm not ready. And then my coach, pretty much as a good coach, you know, does, made me do something I didn't want to do. and put me out there. And that was my first shot. And then, you know, they started calling me for shows from time to time, you know, as they needed fill-ins or, you know, if they just had a lot of fights on a card and needed more people. And then I just worked my way up. And now Dean and I are the two, you know, the two main ones, the two full-time guys.
What's it like being around some of the best fighters in the world, especially as Bellator has grown?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Like, I still get starstruck. I mean, don't get me, like, I'm there, you know, fighting myself all the time, like, come on, don't be a fanboy. Don't ask for that autograph. I know you want to, but don't ask for that autograph. But, you know, I'll tell these guys, you know, I was there when Baba Lou retired. You know, I was in his corner, and, you know, I saw it, and, like, that was, like, I couldn't believe that I was witnessing this kind of history when that happened. Yeah, I still geek out totally around all these fighters. I just try and keep it cool, you know, just try and act like, you know, like oh, I saw you fight once or twice or 700 times. I have all your videos. You know?
That's awesome to hear. Who's been your favorite fighter to work with?
Man, that's hard. Like, you do get to be friends with a lot of them, and so I don't know that I could pick one. Like, there's nobody that I dislike working with. Some are easier to work with than others, but that's not a personality issue. That's a lot of times just like, you know, they're so hyped up during a fight, they're hard to work on. But that's not them, like, you know, being bad to me personally. That's just because they're just like, oh, I want to get back out there. Shavalat is that way. It's not that he doesn't want me to work on him. It's just that he is so pumped and amped that he can't sit still for me to work on him. He just wants to get back out there. But there are so many good, you know, recently I was working with Adam McDonough. You know, he knocked out Nate Coy recently, but he's a great guy. And he is just, he's been a great up-and-comer, and he's one of the friendliest guys out there. You know, and Bellator, I've noticed over other, you know, promotions that I've worked at, and I've worked at some other bigger promotions as well, tends to take a fighter's personality into play. I've noticed that fighters that come in and maybe have super huge egos or are maybe not very cool with the staff or treat the staff poorly, you know, they'll get called to the carpet about it. You know, they don't necessarily tolerate a fighter coming in and let's say, like, yelling at a driver or treating someone poorly or not doing their media obligations and just being a diva about it. They're good about keeping everybody kind of in check about that.
That's very interesting, and that's exactly why we wanted to have you on, man. And when Matthew told me that we were going to have you on, the first question I immediately thought of, what is the worst cut you've seen?
You know, for a long time I used to say it wasn't a specific cut. It was, like, just this overwhelming. It was Carl Amasu and Ben Askren. And because Amasu had both eyes swelling up and he had four smaller cuts all over, so I had so much work to do. But last season that got wiped out the door when John Alessio fought. And he took just – there's a picture of it on my Facebook, and I can post it up on Twitter too for you guys. But John Alessio took a hard knee right to the cheekbone and split in one of the widest, deepest cuts I've ever seen. And this picture I've got that was sent to me, it's actually framed in my basement right now. My wife framed it and put it up downstairs in my man cave. But you can see that I actually have, you can see two of them, but I actually have three swabs. It was so deep that they were just buried and still going. But I give Alessio credit on that. He was totally calm. He just sat still, looked straight ahead, let me do what I needed to do. I mean, as stoic as they come, John Alessio just, like, that was almost more impressive than anything because I knew what I was doing was not comfortable to him. And he just sat there and, do your work. Do what you got to do. But, yeah, that was an absolutely wicked cut.
Now, what have you found between, you know, doing the job for Bellator and then doing it on the local scene for some of these smaller shows? Which fighters are better understanding of it? Are they the big-time guys or the more local guys who are probably just don't even have any idea what's going on? Which fighters are easier to get in there and start prodding at their faces over?
You know what? I will say the bigger guys that come up, and I think the reason that is because the guys that are just starting off on the local promotions, they feel like maybe they've got to create this persona, or, you know, they've got to make a name for themselves as maybe like a tough guy. And they're actually much, much harder to work with. And I make their friends laugh sometimes because I tell them that, you know, when I'm in a show, it's the guy who's making his pro debut that acts way more like a diva than the guy that's had 20 fights. And it always is. It's always that way. And so I would say, yeah, the people that have been around for a little while are the ones that understand a little bit more, and anyone that can talk to them, you can kind of tell, because I may say to them, you know, during the fight, you know, I try not to get in the coach's way and definitely don't talk over them, but I might say, close your left eye. And, you know, the more fights they've had, they just do it. They don't even look at me. They keep their eyes on their coach, but they just close their left eye, and they do what I need to do, as opposed to, you know, a younger guy when I'm trying to work and maybe they snatch my towel and blow their nose, which is huge, huge no-no, but because they're going to blow their eye socket out if they do that. But, you know, they're the ones that are much harder to work on. It's just an experience thing, though.
Yeah. Now, what's the biggest opposition that you receive as that cut man? Like, who was it, whether it's cage side or whether it's when you're coming into the cage to deal with the cuts, who do you deal with the most that really just kind of grinds your gears?
You mean, like, situationally? Like, what situation is hardest to deal with? I have my least favorite thing to have to deal with is split lips. I've had a few where they've caught a punch just right, and the lip has kind of, you know, split down the middle, or it's a really, really big bust. You know, you saw, like, King Mo had a big split on his lip. So stuff like that I think is really, really hard to deal with. I know that Dean, the cut man that I work with, hates bloody noses, and those are really hard to deal with. But I can look across the cage, and when I see a nose just flowing in Dean's corner, I can almost see it on his face. He's like, nah, I don't want to do that. But, yeah, I always hate having split lips because they're hard to deal with. You can't pack them with anything. You can't do anything about them. You can't even really get anything going as far as medication-wise. It's just, hey, I'm going to hold pressure on this for 60 seconds. It's the best I can do, you know?
Yeah. Now, what person, on the other hand, kind of gives you the most trouble? Is it coaches, trainers, referee? Who is it that – is there anybody that kind of gets in your way, or anybody that's trying to get in the way of your job?
Sometimes coaches don't want you in there, you know, because, you know, for a couple of reasons. They just don't want you in there. They're just hyped up, and they're just like, he's not hurt, you know, and they don't want to – because when I go in, you know, one of them can't go in. So, you know, most states let two people go in the cage. So if I go in, that means one of the coaches has to stay out, and it's just me and the other coach. And they don't want that. And then there's another kind of line of thought where they think that if the judges see the cut man go in, you know, that they're going to start maybe judging against that guy. Well, that guy needed the cut man. The other guy was fine. So, you know, the coaches are afraid that seeing the cut man, you know, go in can kind of affect the scoring, which I've never heard of that happening. But, I mean, I understand the point. But I usually just talk to them, and I let them know that I'm going to go in with plenty of time. And if it's something really, like if it's maybe just starting to swell, or maybe the nose is just bleeding a little bit, or it's a really small cut, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, because I know that that's not going to be something that will affect the out. A tiny, tiny cut or just a kind of bloody nose that's not actually running and flowing, that's not going to have much of an impact on the fight. You know, I'll say, would you like me to go take care of that, or would you prefer the two of you go in? So just good communication with them can go a long way, so that when you do go in, you know, they're not so resistant to it.
Now, jumping back a little bit, you mentioned how nervous you were the first time you were in there. Obviously, the fights at that time were on MTV. Now they're on Spike TV. What was going through your mind the very first fight you guys had on Spike?
Oh, it was crazy, because I knew the viewership was going to be up, like, big time. And, you know, my thought was, you know, hey, before if you screwed up, a lot of people were going to see it. But now if you screw up, millions of people are going to see it. You know? And so it was definitely a big jump. But, you know, I actually find that once the fights start, I'm nervous maybe before, and I'm probably really critical of myself after. Because I'll go back, and if I had something particularly rough, I'll definitely, you know, go back on my DVR and watch and see how I handled it. But once the fights are actually going, I don't even hear the crowd anymore. I'm not thinking about the cameras or anything, because I just get so tunnel visioned on what's happening in front of me. that the nerves just actually kind of go away once I can actually just get in there and get going. So, you know, I'm in back and I'm wrapping hands and, you know, everything like that before the show. But, you know, once I get actually off cage side and sit down, you know, in the chair, then the nerves just go away.
Now, what was your, you know, growing up, you know, who was the first fighter that really stuck out to you? The first fighter that you were like, wow, that guy's awesome. I love this sport. Like, who was that guy that really that foundational fighter for you?
You know, my favorite fighter of all time is actually Andrei Arlovsky, but I can't say that he was the first one that really, you know, I watched UFC 1. I was taking Taekwondo. I was in junior high, and my mom let me order the pay-per-view. So I remember Hoyce Gracie doing what he did, and it made me quit Taekwondo. I was like, well, obviously I'm wasting my time here, Mom. So we didn't have any jiu-jitsu around, you know, because it wasn't super popular then. So I ended up going to a judo school from Taekwondo, which, you know, is the next best thing, and I actually really, really liked it. And judo's done really well in MMA. But, you know, there's been a lot of them. You know, but Andrei Arlovsky, all-time favorite. Probably Don Fry did a lot for me, just as like, you know, like, man, that guy is just tough. Like, I really kind of miss the old-school toughness of, like, you know, the old Prides and the
yeah,
Don Fry type
yeah,
fighters
definitely.
Running around.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, that's cool, man. Like, before we wrap up with you tonight, I want to find out, like, you know, and I'm sure you come across it, you know, interns, young guys want to get into that, doing what you're doing, you know, at the regional shows, maybe at Bellator, there's guys that come up to you and say, you know, that what you do is so awesome. How can I get involved? What's your words of wisdom to these young people that might want to get involved in being a cut man for some promotion out there?
You know what? You just have to practice. And this is what usually turns people off. I do get that question a lot. And when I say this next part, they go, oh, well, no. I say you have to do it for free. You know,
yeah.
You know, one of the most important things for a cut man is to be able to wrap hands. And, you know, so you call up a local amateur promotion. You don't need to be in the pros yet. You can go to amateurs because then you can work your way up. There's not usually elbows and knees to the face in amateurs, so you can get comfortable being cage side. But you have to just call up a promoter and say, hey, you know, I'm learning how to do this. I'm learning how to wrap hands and work cuts. I'll work your show for free if you'll have me. And what promoter would ever turn you down? You know, I lost, I lost money, like literally paid to do this job for 6 years before I ever broke even doing it. And I'm only really now in the last couple of years actually making, you know, I'm actually in the black doing it. So you have to just let the ego go. You know what, when you're first starting off, you're not worth getting paid anyway, you know? So you need
yeah.
to, you know, just put the ego down, go to a local promoter of an AMI show and say, can I just work for you? It can't be any worse than not having anybody, right? And just that's how you get your feet wet.
You're exactly right, man. Great answer. And it was just an absolute pleasure to have you on the show tonight, Matt. You know, we've noticed you, me and Spencer, being both big Bellator fans. Obviously, you know, I reached out to you because I see you guys are very busy. And you know, it's just doing – I got to say, being a fan of Bellator – it's really cool to talk to somebody who's part of it, who's on the inside and being part of that great success, because I think Bellator is really doing some awesome stuff. Before we let you go, we'd like to do with all our guests, man, if you've got any shout-outs that you'd like to give or where people can find you through social media, please feel free to do so.
Sure. I would give a shout-out to my wife on anything like this because she's always listening. So, AJ, I love you. You can find me on social media at Cutman Matt, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. I actually tweet and Instagram a lot, so give me a follow on there at Cutman Matt. And I really appreciate you guys having me on. I love talking MMA. So
you got it, Matt, man. You're welcome back anytime. I wish you great success moving forward and just keep doing an awesome job and keep stopping the blood flow, man.
Great, man. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. You have a great night, sir.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Matt Morrison, and I do want to correct myself. There is no Bellator event tonight, so I did sound like a bit of a goof, but I want to thank Matt for being a professional and just rolling with it there, not making me feel any stupider than I did feel at the moment. So just an awesome guest. It's really cool. I think, you know, it's the first time we've gotten to talk to somebody, a cut man. That's the first time we've talked to somebody who is in that area of the sport. You know, we've talked to promoters, we've talked to fighters. I interviewed a ring car girl one time, I think with back in the day with Jason, we interviewed a ring car girl from Canada. And you talk to a bunch of different people in this sport, but I think that it's commonly overlooked is the cut man, man. You know, they're very important, and they do vital things for this sport. So it was cool to kind of sit and talk with him tonight. We look forward to having him back on the show here again soon. We're going to take a quick break, play you some music, and then we'll be back. We'll talk for a minute or two. We'll chat, and then we'll talk with Mitchell Chamali talking about Combat Night this weekend. So in the spirit of the Golden God Awards and all things metal, here's a little bit of Five Finger Death Punch.
Championship belts who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design with it.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All right, so we are back here, and I want to say I don't know how we follow up that Five Finger Death Punch song. That's on another level, but we'll do our best. I'm going to sound off here for a minute on the Florida Boxing Commission. So the Florida Boxing Commission is trying to pass a legislature, I think it's called Bill 773, if I'm not mistaken, which would give them complete and total control. Yeah, Bill 773, complete and total control over Florida amateur mixed martial arts. Now, this is a bad idea, and I can't say how much I hate it. The Florida Boxing Commission, which controls boxing, kickboxing, and professional kickboxing and professional mixed martial arts, has just about bled it dry. There's a few promotions that have continued to succeed and have done good, but their events have been a little bit fewer and far between because of the standards and the requirements of the Florida Boxing Commission. Now, Florida amateur MMA is prospering greatly. We have some bad shows out there, some bad people in the sport, but I don't know what sport doesn't have bad people involved. Those people tend to weed themselves out rather quickly and rather easily. People get a hold of the information, they know that those people are bad, and for the most part, they're avoided. Their shows go under, they don't succeed. Now, for the professional shows out there that are on the amateur ranks that do things the right way, they do things for the fighters, they're putting on good shows, they're packing venues, they're making money for themselves, but ultimately that's what they're in the business for. If you can make money for yourselves all the while doing the right thing by the sport and for the athletes, why should that power be taken away from you? Now, in my opinion, the only reason that the Boxing Commission should have any legislature over amateur mixed martial arts and amateur kickboxing is to regulate the sanctioning bodies so that every sanctioning body, so the sanctioning bodies can operate independently, but they have to follow the same regulation of rules. That's the only reason the Boxing Commission should be involved. But what the Boxing Commission wants to do is take complete and total control over the sport so that they will be mandating when promotions are putting on events, what promotions are putting on events, and talking about and controlling everything that happens. The shows are going to become few and far between. A lot of shows are going to not be able to succeed or survive under these requirements and under these regulations, and it's ultimately going to bleed the amateur sport dry as the Boxing Commission has bled the professional sport dry. Do I think that the Boxing Commission is 100% bad for the sport? No. I just think that they need to be better educated on what they're doing with mixed martial arts before they kill the sport entirely here in the state of Florida. I can't say this enough, how badly I want this to be heard and want something to be done about this, because if the Boxing Commission takes complete and total control as they want to, it is not going to be a good thing. I'm not happy about this. I'm pissed about this. There's a lot of people that are unhappy about this. They're trying to see to it that we can get some sort of a petition together to possibly be heard by the senators, the governor, and the people that will ultimately make the decision on this legislature. But when it comes down to it, the more control the Boxing Commission has, the less of a sport we will have. And that's the end of what I had to say.
It's extreme stuff, man. It's really in-depth. I'm sorry. I have to go through that. Luckily, up here in Ohio, not so much of a controversy with all that.
Man, it's just the Boxing Commission wants to control everything that goes down, and it's just not good. It's not a good thing. But anyways,
yeah,
that's what I have
it's
to say, man. All right. So Bellator 117, go ahead and take it, man.
All righty. Patrici, Pitbull Ferrer kicked off the Spike TV main card, Season 10 lightweight tournament semifinal. He defeated Derek Campos Not much to say about that fight. Typical Patricky fashion. Slow first round, came out second round, guns blazing, got the TKO. Then our boy Carl Amasu is next. Of course, Matt Marston was talking about Amasu, those nasty cuts he had against Ben Askren. Amasu returning to the win column. I'm not sure if that's his first win after the last loss or his second, but that was against David Gomez. That was not a tournament fight. And then Marcin Held, one of my favorite fighters, probably my second favorite behind Alexander Shlemenko. I know I was talking with you about him last week, Matthew. He's going to advance to fight Patricky in the Season 10 final for the lightweight division. This dude has some nasty submissions, man. Usually leg locks. Coming into the fight, Eric Anderson said he was a one-trick pony. He could only do leg locks, heel hooks, stuff like that. Ended up getting a triangle choke round two. Just nasty. He transitions from submission to submission perfectly, and he's fun to watch. I can't wait for that fight. I believe it's going to be on the Bellator pay-per-view on the regular televised card, the prelims, that final. And then, of course, Douglas Lima and Rick Hahn for the vacant welterweight title. That's the vacated title that Ben Askren left. Of course, he's over at 1FC. He's going to fight at 1FC6. Douglas Lima, corner stoppage by leg kicks. He just destroyed Rick Hahn's legs. Did you get to see that, Matthew? Matthew,
yes,
did you see that?
Yeah, yes, I did. Sorry, man. I was on mute. I was getting ready to go give Mitchell a call. Yes, I did. It was nasty. I think it was the right call, though, because he knocked him down four or five times with that leg kick. And he just, Hahn wasn't responding. He was just kind of laying there, and he had nothing more that he could do, honestly. So I think that was the right call, and hands down the right call. And a good job of awareness by his corner to be able to make that decision, because it couldn't have been an easy decision. And I want to say that it's more fighters need awareness like that from their cornermen, because sometimes in situations when a ref doesn't properly stop the fight, some guy's just getting his freaking head beat in and nothing's done about it. And I think ultimately that was the right call by his corner. As tough of a call as it might have been, it was the right call to make, because he was in bad shape and he wasn't doing anything back. So it was a great call, and Douglas Lima is an absolute beast, man. I can't wait to see that guy right back in the cage. I can't wait to see his brother Diego fight as well, man. A nasty couple of fighters right there. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and go give Mitchell a call, man. So you go ahead and take over and finish wrapping up the card.
Yeah, and Matthew mentioned his brother Diego, of course, is on The Ultimate Fighter this season, I believe season 19. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to see that Ultimate Fighter episode 2 yet. That was on Wednesday. But back to the Bellator 117 card, I agree with Matthew. Rick Hahn's corner, very aware of what was going on. Lima kept dropping him over and over again with those leg kicks, and the welts on his legs were just brutal. So I think that was the right call. I know the fans wanted to see more, but fighter safety always comes first. The other big fight card last week was UFC on Fox 11. Fabricio Werdum getting a dominant win over Travis Brown. It came up after the fight that Brown suffered rib injuries, hand injuries, and I believe a hamstring or something. This dude was just all torn up. But that kind of explains why he was so off on his striking, because, I mean, Werdum, of course, is a specialist on the ground, but he just outstruck Brown. And, of course, in the main co-main event, Miesha Tate getting her first UFC win against Liz Carmouche. That was a unanimous decision. I thought it was at least going to be a split decision. I could have seen how it was, how the refs could see it was for Liz Carmouche. But apparently it was a unanimous decision for Tate, and that's all I have for that one. I believe Matthew's back.
Yeah, I'm back, man. We got, you know, what's funny is I got Mitchell on the phone, and I can hear you in the background. He's sitting there listening to the show, so that's pretty cool. We're going to go ahead and bring him over and go live. We are now live with Mitchell Chamali, one half of Combat Night. We actually talked with your partner last week, Mitchell, talked a little bit about Combat Night, a little bit about his recovery. And so now we got you, man. We got you. You're the handsome man with the beard, and you just got home from Abu Dhabi, man. So how was it? What was it like over there?
It was different. It was very different. I enjoyed it, but I'm glad to be back in the U.S.
Well, now, what was it like to be there with Jim, getting to watch him make his UFC debut, man?
That was awesome. It was just sick to get to see one of your good friends, you know, accomplish such a huge goal. So, it was really sick, man. Awesome experience. You know, everything about that whole little UFC was just awesome.
Yeah. All right, now you were actually over there to compete yourself. After his fight wrapped up, you actually went and were competing in a tournament over there. So how did that go?
I competed at the Abu Dhabi World. I didn't go my way. I actually lost the first match to a Russian that was working in the UAE on a ref decision. But, you know, I enjoyed it myself. It was a good time, and it was one of those tournaments that a lot of people will never even have the opportunity to do.
Yeah. Yeah, right on, man. Major props for you going over there and doing that. I don't have to imagine that it was very surreal and very just kind of like a whoa moment, kind of made you kind of sit back and go, holy crap, you know, this is pretty cool. So I think regardless of an outcome over there, I think it's definitely a win to come back and take that experience back here to Orlando with you.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Now let's before we're going to jump into combat night, and that's the main reason for the interview, but I do want to get your thoughts as a promoter here in the state on what the Boxing Commission has proposed to do, what they're trying to do here with this Bill 773. So what are your thoughts on that?
I read over a couple of different parts of that, read through it once, and then went back and skimmed through it to try to see what kind of applied to us. A few things in that bill are kind of alarming. It's going to affect the pro fighters and the amateur promoters, and I think even the pro promoters some. I saw one section where if the Boxing Commission thinks you're not trying to your full ability, that they can withhold your purse. I mean, I'm a pro fighter, too. That's the last thing I want to hear. The Boxing Commission can say that I wasn't fighting 100% and just hold on to my purse.
That's bogus.
Yeah, it's crazy. And as far as it affecting amateur shows, you know, it's kind of the language is so loosely said that we really have no idea how it's going to affect us. Are they going to just shut it down completely? Are they going to start limiting how many shows? Are they going to keep it the same but eliminate some sanctioning bodies? The language is so loose, it's kind of, no idea what they're going to do. So I guess I don't really have an opinion at the moment, just kind of want to see how it all plays out. And I just hope they do the right thing regardless of which way it goes.
Yeah, agreed, man. I couldn't agree more. I don't like the sound of it myself, but I think you said it perfectly. You got to kind of have to wait it out and see what happens, because the language in it is very loosely written and very unspecified in certain parts of it, and it does leave a lot to wonder. So moving on, man. Combat Night 28 this weekend, Orlando, Florida. You're back at the Roxy, which is you guys' Orlando home, and it's going to be the Fight for Autism, man. We talked with Josh last week about it. You know, the dude took some time. I couldn't have been more appreciative for him to talk with us because, you know, he's coming out of this surgery and going through rehab and stuff. So what are your – right now, how are you feeling about this event?
Feeling good. You know, we have a ton of people that have been affected by autism, so I think we're going to raise a lot of awareness and funds. I mean, everywhere I wore my shirt, you know, someone said, oh, I fight for autism, you know, oh, my niece or oh, my child or, you know, my brother's kid. You know, everyone had somebody that, you know – everyone saw it and they knew somebody who had autism. So I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, we're doing a charity that's touched so many people. But right now everything looks good, you know. The ticket sales are out. You know, they're doing really well. We got a lot of locals on this card. And even some of the fighters, you know, they have siblings that are affected by autism. So, you know, they all have to be a part of this event. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a really, really good show.
Yeah, now obviously you guys, you know, have been working a long time, you and Josh. You guys have teamed up with just about one of the best matchmakers anywhere around. You know, by far the best matchmaker throughout the Southeast, and that's Richard Cox. You know, time after time, event after event, he does such a phenomenal job for you guys, and these shows continue to pack, you know, different venues. You guys are always in very unique venues. You pack them, the fans have a great night, the fighters have a great night, and I think a lot of that's credited to the work of you and Josh, but as well as Richard Cox. So what's it been like being able to team up with Richard for such a long time and see that great work come out of it?
Man, if it wasn't for Richard, we wouldn't be where we are right now. He's really, you know, without him, we don't have the success that we have now. This guy literally matches cards all over Florida, and he lives in Georgia. We have multiple shows. Sometimes we'll have three in a month. For instance, we have one this weekend, the following weekend, and the weekend after, Miami and in Tallahassee. He's matching three cards at a time. He also is a pro matchmaker for a card in Georgia, and he matchmakes for them too. So you got to think he's doing, at any given time, he can be doing four or five shows at a time, and he manages to find enough fights for everybody. The card's always coming together. You know, I've seen that man throw together late replacements that were actually great matchups. You know, not just a late replacement, oh, this guy's 0-4, he'll fight the 5-0 guy. No, he'll find, somehow he manages to find a 4-1 guy that's willing to step up because he wants to fight the 5-0 guy, you know. Like I said, man, without him, we don't have the success that we have now. Richard Cox is awesome. It's been really cool getting to work with him. Met a lot of people, a lot of fighters in Georgia that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. He's just been a great guy, man. Started out as a business relationship, and now he's definitely one of my best friends. So, good stuff from Richard.
Yeah. Now, what's one of the fights you're looking forward to most on this card Saturday night?
Man, I'm really looking forward to all of them. I really do. I'm a big fan of the fight game. So, you know, anytime I see a fight or, you know what's going on or these guys don't have beef or these two gyms don't get along, you know, I get into every fight. So there's really no one fight in particular, but if I had to pick two that really stand out for me, that's going to be Lou Vasquez. He is making his first cut. He's actually going down to 120 for this fight. He's fighting a guy named Josh, and he's always exciting. Lou, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever fight Lou in, it's going to be exciting. He's going to move around. He's going to get the crowd excited after the fight. You know, before the kid even knows if he's won or not, he's dancing. He's just full of energy. So I'm really looking forward to him fighting because you never know what he's going to do. And then probably our main event, we have two speedy 185-pounders, one in the jungle and one out of the jungle. And both guys are really good, and they're still fast. You know, they're big, but they're fast. So you never know what's going to happen. It could be a knockout. It could be a submission. But those are the two fights that stand out the most for me.
Right. And you're doing a lot of work with Combat Night, you and Josh, Richard. You guys are, like you said, you know, you've got three events over the next 3 weeks. You know, you guys travel throughout, you know, Miami, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Orlando. And at the same time, you know, like you said, Richard is matching all these other cards. You know, you and Josh are both juggling professional careers. You're being able to do all this different stuff at the same time. What's the key to being able to juggle it all and juggle it successfully?
Man, you got to love it. If one of us didn't love MMA, this wouldn't work. You know, it's a lot of people talk about, you know, they wish they could do what they love for a living, and I've managed to do that. I do what I love for a living. So that's how I'm able to do it all, you know. Even at times where I'm stressed out, I can really sit back and just go, really? You know, I'm getting paid to tell people, punch people in the face. I'm getting paid to punch people. Is it really that bad? You know, it's not, man. It's what I love. So I think the same thing goes for Josh and Richard as well. Richard probably loves it more than any of us, to be honest with you. That man has dedicated his life to this. You know, he loves it.
Right on, man. Now, this, like as I mentioned, you know, what have you been actively looking for fights, or have you been putting your focus on the Combat Night and kind of putting your career kind of just to the side for now, or are you kind of always trying to stay active?
I would like to stay active, you know, but I have to watch out what dates of Combat Night, and I have to watch, you know, dates of my other friends that are fighting pro, and I want to go support them, and there's a couple things that play into that, plus my weight class isn't the most common, but, you know, I do have a fight coming up May 9th, so I am fighting the night before our Tallahassee Combat Night event. That should be interesting. So, yeah, I still try to stay active.
And tell a little bit about that fight. Where's that fight going to be? Who's it for?
Dean Toole, Island Fights.
Oh, Island Fights 27?
Yes. The opponent hasn't been announced yet, and I don't want to rob Dean of that pleasure. But Dean,
okay,
I'm sure, will be making a post here in the next day or two and announce the matchup.
Awesome, man. Very awesome. I know that's coming together as a very very big-time fight card up there for Dean Toole, as I pretty much think all of Dean's fight cards are, but that's cool to hear you're going to be a part of that. I look forward to hearing, to seeing you back in the cage, man, because, you know, I've said this to you multiple times. I've said this to Gion multiple times. The fight that you guys put on was by far one of the greatest fights I've ever gotten to witness. I thought both of you reached depth of heart and commitment that I had never seen before. You guys just put on a phenomenal fight, and so I'm glad to see that you'll be back out there fighting again, man, because you know you're a great young fighter.
That's awesome, man. Thank you.
And no problem, man. And as I've said to you many times, you know, when you're not stealing my water from me, you're a good dude and you do a lot of good stuff for the sport, man. So look, glad that you'll be able to actually get back out there and punch somebody in the face again.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, we'll go ahead and we'll let you wrap you up and get you out of here, man. Where can people find out information on the event Saturday night, ticket information, and what time are the doors going to open?
They can get on rosterorlando.com. It's probably the easiest way to go about it. They have all the event information there. Doors are going to open at 6. Flights are going to start at 7. Tickets are $25 in advance. Again, you can get them on the Rocksteady Orlando site. And the autism-specific organization we're going with is ASGO. It's ASGO.org. It's really easy to find out what they do. They help train people to deal with, you know, people with autism so that they're being dealt with appropriately as they get older and, you know, when they're kids, so they're not irritating them and frustrating them more. But that's about it, man. It's combat night. Do you have any questions?
Say that website one more time.
The website for tickets is RoxyOrlando.com. RoxyOrlando.com.
The website for the autism organization you guys are going through is what I was looking for.
It's ASGO.
ASGO.
Literally, if you go to Google and type in ASGO, it'll be the first, like, 10, 20 things that pop up. It's all over the place.
I got it. All right, awesome. We're going to be able to share it through our website.
Autism
our
Society
pages.
In Greater Orlando.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Mitchell, thank you for joining us, sir. It's always good to talk with you. I'll see you this Saturday. And I wish the best for Combat Night. Looking forward to a great night of fight Saturday at the Roxy in Orlando.
Cool, man. See you there.
All right, man. Take it easy, Mitchell.
Sure.
Right on, folks. That's Combat Night 28, the fight for autism. And like he said, and I'm glad he mentioned it because I was going to forget to ask, it is the ASGO.org will be the exact organization that they're teaming up with for this Saturday night. And I think I want to say real quick, and I know we're going to wrap up here at about 11:30, and I know we got something, just some news that came across as we were doing that interview that really want to get to. I know Spencer wants to talk to you, but I want to stop and say from my personal feelings, my personal opinion, I think it's phenomenal when an MMA promotion some sort of a cause, a foundation, an organization, especially when it comes to something like autism or childhood cancer. You know, they did an event at the end of last year in Miami called an association with Live Like Bella, and that's a foundation for childhood cancer awareness. This right here is supporting children and adults with autism. It's ASGO.org. I'm going to post it to the Facebook page and as well to my Twitter because I think that it's important when things like this coincide with sports. I think sports, and I believe this all my life, I think sports is the ultimate healer. I think sports can really unite and heal and cause gaps and heal gaps and close gaps in life when maybe something in life is hard, maybe you've been sick, maybe something in life is going wrong. I think sports are a great way to help people feel better, and I think it's a phenomenal thing, exceptional, when some type of somebody in the sports community, this in this situation being Combat Night, an amateur MMA promotion, reaches out to some sort of a foundation like the ASGO Autism of Greater Orlando, and says, you know what, we want to help you guys and we want to work with you guys. So I think that's phenomenal and it deserves special mention. And I think that guys that are doing this like Mitchell and Josh and Richard deserve kudos. They deserve major respect. Because I think they're going above and beyond, and people don't have to do this stuff. They're wanting to do this because they believe in these companies. They believe in giving back, and they believe in doing good for others. And I think ultimately, I think that's the greatest thing you can do with life is pay it forward. So that's what I got to say there. Moving on, I'm gonna let Spencer break this news because he's the one that just gave it to me. So Spencer, go ahead, man.
Yeah, we were talking about Anthony Rumble Johnson making his UFC return earlier in the episode. Of course, this being at light heavyweight. In the past, his first UFC trip was at welterweight, went to the World Series of Fighting, found his home at light heavyweight. But this just in, breaking news, and I'm looking for the quote right now, but the gist of it is, if Anthony Rumble Johnson does not make weight, which would mark his fourth time missing weight in the UFC, he will get a UFC lifetime ban. He will not be able to fight in the promotion anymore. And the quote is from Dana White, "He doesn't make weight this time, I promise you, he'll never be back in the UFC. That's from Dana White.
Yeah, I think that's pretty big, and I think ultimately as a you're a professional fighter, you know. When you agree to fight at a weight, you need to be at that weight. You know, plain and simple. You've agreed to fight at that weight. I'm trying to find the words to say here because I don't know how else to put it. I'm just going to repeat the same thing. But ultimately, when you say, I'm going to fight at 205, you need to be at 205, man. You don't need to be at 206. You don't need to be at 208. You need to be at 205. And I think that should be the same with amateur fighters. I think as an amateur fighter, you know, if it's your debut, now in amateurs, they do give them some allowance. They do give them a little bit of leeway. A lot of the sanctioning bodies down here at least will say, if you're within 2 pounds or something of your guy, then they're going to let it fly. And for the most part, that's okay for the amateur scene. But I think you need to take it upon yourself as a fighter, whether it's your debut, whether it's your 13th amateur fight, whether it's your 30th pro fight, or whether it's your first pro fight. I think as a fighter, you need to take it upon yourself earlier in your career to tell yourself, I'm going to be the guy that makes weight. When I commit to making this weight, when I commit that I'm going to fight at 185 pounds, by God, when I step on that scale, I'm going to weigh 185 pounds. And there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's plain and simple. You've agreed to fight at this weight. Don't come in at 190. Don't come in at 187. Be there at 185. And if you can't do that, then you should probably not be trying to make that weight cut. And I'm a big advocate for guys fighting closer to their weight. And I know there's a lot of mixed reviews on that. And, you know, what the hell do I know? I haven't been doing this all that long. But in my opinion, if you fight within a 10 to 15 pound window of your personal weight, of your walk weight, I think that a weight cut should be easy for you as a fighter. Well, these guys that are trying to make 20 and 30 pound weight cuts in Rumble when he was fighting at welterweight, that had to have been like a 40 some pound weight cut. You know, talking of 170 guy, and the guy probably walks around at what, 220 ish? And that's just a guess, and that's 50 pounds right there. So if he doesn't make weight, then yeah, he should be banned lifetime from the UFC, and heck, he should be banned from the sport if the guy keeps missing weight. I mean, my God.
If you're a professional fighter, that's your job. That's how you make your money, especially on that level. We've talked before how paydays in MMA aren't as much as other sports, but I mean, on that level, these guys do get paid a lot. It's his job to make weight. That's part of your job. Any other job in the world, you don't do what you're told, you get fired. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. You're exactly right, my friend. And I think that it's just it's silly when you see these guys missing weight and they're just kind of like, you know, whatever about it. You know, but I think what's worse is the guys who know they're going to miss weight and they don't show up. I think no matter what, I think you should show up. If you don't make weight, a lot of sanctioned bodies, at least on the amateur level, on the local scene, if you don't make weight, sanctioning bodies, the sanctioning body members will give you at least one more chance, and I'm not totally against that, but I do think that when you agree to fight at a weight, you need to be on that weight. No goofing around, man. Don't, you know, if you're 5 pounds off weight, you should probably be in a sauna that morning and maybe not having a pancake and egg breakfast or some crap. You know, I think that you got to take it seriously, because if you don't take it seriously on the amateur scene, if you're not taking it seriously earlier in your career, when are you going to take it seriously later in your career, you know? So I think if you want to be taken seriously as a fighter, commit, you know? Think that you're going to be the best fighter in the world by going into the gym and putting in 26 hours a day in training, and you've got the best jiu-jitsu in the world, and, you know, you're a triple-degree black belt in freaking taekwondo-jitsu or whatever. You know, I'm making stuff up. But ultimately, what good are you if you can't hold to your commitment? You know, your biggest thing is committing to a weight. When you said, because that's ultimately what, that's as good as you are as a fighter, is to say, I'm a 185 pound fighter. Well, if you're a 185 pound fighter, then when you step on that scale, you got to be 185. And if you got to get naked to make 185, because I've seen that, man, I've seen that at amateur events where a guy stripped naked and he was on weight. And you know what? Some of the people get a little weird about that, but ultimately, if that's what you got to do, you're making weight, and ultimately, that's the right thing. Be on weight, and man, I'm on a tangent. Tonight has been like my tangent night. I've gone off a few times here, and it's just it's crazy, man. I'm about to wrap this up, but Yeah, man, I love Rumble Johnson as a fighter. The dude's a beast, but, yeah, if he misses weight again, I got to say this is a good call by Dana, and I'm glad Dana's come out and said something because, you know, you can't be having this crap, especially not on the level of the UFC. You can't be having this crap, so. Yeah, man. Oh, geez. I think that's about it. Yeah, I think we covered, you know, Arlovsky's been called back up to the UFC. It's funny that actually we had just finished talking about that, and Matt Marsden comes on and says, you know, growing up Arlovsky was his favorite guy. So I think that's pretty ironic. But I wanted to say we got some big things happening here at MMA Madhouse Radio. We've got some tentative deals in the works, and I'm not going to say much to jinx, and I know Skippy made it public today, but I'm just going to leave it up there. It's kind of like a no-hitter. You know, you don't want to actually talk about it. But, so, you know, we've got some tentative deals coming in the works for Madhouse Radio, some big things. So stay tuned. And, you know, I got to say, for me and Spencer here at K-Zombies, we love the guests that we have on the show. We love the people that listen to the show. I got to say, it's an absolute geek out. You know, Matt Marsden earlier in the night is talking about geek outs for him, sitting K-Zombies. It's a geek out for me to call a guest and hear him listening to the show in the background. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to hear, to know that some of these people, you know, they're not just like, oh, I got to sit down and talk with these guys at Kane's Zombies for 15 minutes. You know, they're actually listening to us behind the scenes and supporting the show, you know, and I think that's a really cool thing because I think that ultimately it's all of us supporting each other in this sport that's going to help things grow and really put everything on another level. And I think, you know, earlier in the week, Alon Cruz, one of the fighters out of Team Darkside, actually called me out on Facebook personally and said that he is an all-time listener of the show. It's the only MMA show he listens to. And, he said, you know, I suggest other people do the same because they're such a good show. And it's cool to kind of hear that feedback from fighters. And we haven't got to have Alon on the show yet. But trust me, I love Alon Cruz, and I love everybody over at Team Darkside. And we will get him on the show very shortly. Maybe, and I hope he's listening right now, if he can actually impress me when he gets in the cage, then perhaps I'll think about putting him on the show. But until then, man, when he just comes out and puts on these boring performances, no, I'm just kidding. His pro debut at RFC this last, or two RFC events ago, him and Brad May, phenomenal fight. Alon did a great job out there, and he absolutely impresses me. Everybody over at Team Darkside impresses me. I would never say anything different because they'll send Oleg after me, and we've heard from like what, five or six different people from there that Oleg is not the person to mess with. So I don't want that big dude coming after me anytime soon. So,
the most you can at Team Darkside.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got nothing but good things to say about those people over there, man. As I do about most everybody, you know, I never say anything bad about the people on the local scene because they're always good to you. They're always just very, very fortunate and really appreciative when you want to reach out and give them exposure or interviews and stuff, because, you know, we're all at the same level. We're all trying to make names for ourselves here. And I think it's all about helping each other, man, paying it forward. Honestly, there isn't much better advice in this world. It's just pay it forward. If you pay it forward, good things are going to happen for you. And that's what we have here in the Tampa, Orlando, Central Florida MMA scene. We got a lot of greatness. Daytona Beach, St. Augustine, we got a lot of great people. Miami, even South Florida, you know, I'm going to say the whole state. We got a great scene down here in Florida, and I don't want to see that tarnished or messed up by this stupid boxing commission. I'd love to get somebody from the boxing commission on the show here. You know what I mean? I'd like to get them on the show and hear exactly what the hell they're thinking or what they're trying to do up there, trying to take over all this. Why can't they just let Florida Amateur MMA let it be the way it is? Because it's prospering and there's a lot of good things happening. And that's it, man. I'm gonna. You know, Spencer wants to get the hell out of here. We both kind of want to wrap it up for the night because it's been a long week for us here, finals week at school. But I'm just on fire tonight. But anyways, thank you to Matt and thank you to Mitchell for being on the show tonight. It was a pleasure having both of you gentlemen. The only regret I have is not getting to talk to these guys about their phenomenal beards. But maybe some other time, because they both have some pretty ferocious beards, and I'm just. I'm enthralled by the greatness of growing a beard because I myself cannot grow one. So I think it's pretty cool when these guys have these Duck Dynasty looking beards and stuff. But anyways, that's about going to wrap it up for us tonight. As always, my co-host here, Spencer Kirksey, got much love for Spencer. He is my brother from another mother. And we'll be back next Thursday with another great show. Thank you, Zombies, for joining us, man. K-Zombies Radio, nothing but the best. Peace out. See you guys next week. We'll be right back.
wanna be, not a wanna be, but a zombie. I know insanity, untamable, unchainable. Zombies is undeniable. Run for your life, run for your life. What? Bon appetit, I got a new appetite. Transform, reborn. Love bites in its rare form. Worldwide.
Thinking, you know.